This obviously needs to be worked on a little bit, unless you've got a specific, I mean.
Well, except for that conceptual amendment, for this, I've got specific language I'd like to offer. Is this work session time, or?
Yes, it is. Why don't you,
I move.
For the record, give us the specific language.
I move that we amend line 26 so that it reads, I'll read the whole line, as changed. Body of the decedent, comma, when the controlled substance is manufactured or delivered to the decedent by the distributor. And that runs on to line 26, excuse me, 27. Also that we change line 29 to change the word delivery to read delivered and to change the word defendant to read distributor. That we amend line 30 to change defendant to distributor. And then on page 2, that line 1, defendant be changed to distributor.
Okay. That's relatively clear. Objection to the amendment?
Representative Miller, you all right, too?
Fine.
Okay.
We had some other concerns here, I believe, on one of the sheets. I don't think there's any. Let me see here. One more.
I don't think there's anything else. Mr. McIntyre, Mr. Brad, is there anything else?
I believe so.
Again, editorial leeway for staff to clean this up if she finds it necessary. Motions on the bill.
I move it.
Representative Courtney moves House Bill 2430, the full committee do pass recommendation as amended. Discussion, Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chairman, just the question that the on line 23. The reference to Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 links that into ORS 475, et cetera. Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 are federal DEA.
That's correct.
Definition.
But not DEA.
It's not DEA. What is it?
The schedule, where do the drugs, they're Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, they're Food and Drug.
Right, and I'm wondering if, I just want to make sure, I did not see it, but I'm, of course, not legally trained, but did not see the reference to those in these ORSs. But make sure that they're included.
So. Where is it, Mr. McIntyre?
It's in there somewhere. I know
they would be. They would be included by if.
Go ahead, Mr. McIntyre.
They would be included by reference under 475, 992 through 995. They discuss the offenses by schedule, and the schedules are referred to in the beginning of the enabling statutes of the Uniform Controlled Substance Act. Now, they are not specifically laid out within the statutes. What you have to do is you have to go all the way back into the OARs for what the Oregon Pharmacy Board has now accepted, and they update those every 30 days. That's how we try to stay current on precursor chemicals and designer drugs.
He's right.
Mr. Chairman, there's one other thing. Is on line 25, to be consistent with line 23, you should also there indicate in Schedule 1 or Schedule 2.
In other words, line 25 should track with line 23 then.
Yes.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Take that too.
That reference is made.
Representative Bryan, anything further?
Well, as long as everyone's comfortable and it is properly referenced and included, that would be fine.
Interestingly enough, of all the drug cases I did, it's going to sound funny, but you don't work with the schedules that much. I mean, they're almost common knowledge, and unless it's something really exotic, it's
just, you know, what caught my eye was that the federal food and drug reference is made in 475.005. which is obviously quite a ways before you get to 992. I want to make sure it's included as well.
Yes. Anything further? Okay. Good discussion of the bill.
I think it's a good bill.
Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Murray?
Yes.
Brian?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Chair Meissen?
Aye. Representative Courtney, it's your bill. What's your pleasure on this?
What's my pleasure?
Do you want to carry it?
Yes, sir.
Carried the full committee on the floor. Okay, now, where's Mr. Wilhelm? He escaped? He escaped.
Probably went back to check with those attorneys. We had a little discussion on the side here, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Representative Kaluri and I, and I think he made a good point. That is that one paragraph I was so hung up about is an existing law. Of course, the fact that it's an existing law doesn't mean it's good, but accepting the fact most existing laws are made. That perhaps we shouldn't even get into intent, but my reaction would be maybe we could come up with something where we make that, leave that as a Class A misdemeanor. All the other sections are the ones with the heavy intent. Make those the Class B felonies. Is that what, or is it Class C felonies?
Well, I tend to agree with you, Representative Mannix. Where are these Representative or Mr. Wilhelm? Do you want to place that in a motion?
Or? All right, we're in work session officially.
Yes, work session. 2518.
I move that this will be a conceptual amendment, Mr. Chairman. That subsection 4 of the bill, consisting of lines 5 through 8 on page 2, be maintained as a Class A misdemeanor. The intent of the motion would be the remainder of it will be an upgrade to a Class C felony, but since there's no intent requirement in the access alone, that, in my opinion, should remain as a lower-level crime. Then you don't get into intent at all.
What did they add? I'm having a rough time reading this. What did they add?
All they added was just changing it from...
Yeah, I've got this terrible feeling that we just amended it back into existing law.
Yeah.
Well, okay, what they're doing is... All right, this is a conceptual amendment. What they've done is they've upgraded all the computer crime from Class A misdemeanor to Class C felony. And I'm saying the one thing that shouldn't be upgraded is subsection 4.
That was existing law.
It was existing.
This is here a violation of the portion of,
that's right,
of subsection 4 to still be a Class A misdemeanor.
Yeah. Right.
So, I'm misreading it?
Oh, excuse me. Maybe I'm misreading it. Hang on here.
Representative Brian, I...
Just the comment that access is defined as instruct, communicate with, store data in, retrieve data from. And I guess I'd suggest that under the right circumstances, that would be an appropriate felony charge, and I would leave that to the discretion of the district attorney or the judge.
And, you know, isn't it the only thing here is they're simply upgrading the crime?
Yep.
That's the only thing we're talking about. We're
not
creating all kinds of...
Mr. Chairman.
New crimes in that sense, which is saying you do this today, right, you get hit with a Class A misdemeanor, you do this tomorrow, and we're going to throw a Class C felony. Isn't that correct?
Yep.
Thank you, Mr.
But at the same time, Representative Mannix has a point in that this is still a terribly broad statute, notwithstanding the facts.
Well, I'm willing to upgrade on two. Well, two is already a Class C felony. No, they're upgrading, as I read this, 3 to a Class C felony and 4 to a Class C felony.
No, 3 was. You're just changing the numbers around, you see.
Oh.
See, what's so confusing about that is that because they pulled out that last sentence, then they add 3 and add 4, but 3 was already there.
That's why I keep this little blue book here.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kaluri.
That's right.
Well, I like the bill the way it is. You can talk about innocent college pranks, and you can talk about using your watch if you want to, but item 4 has to do with making use of computer systems, networks, and so forth. And I would just submit that there is a little difference between taking somebody's car and going on a joyride as opposed to stealing their entire, in the case of that analogy, taking their entire fleet of cars. You know, we are talking about here computer system and networks.
It says computer.
Well, it says computer. We can change. Yeah, that's fine. But it also says computer system and computer networks. And you're talking about heavy-duty stuff now. We're talking about, you know, perhaps nationwide networks worth millions of dollars. And it seems to me that if it's if we get off of digital watches and start talking about whether we're talking about taking having somebody steal, which is my term.
Well, it's not stealing.
Well, all right.
It's
but
accessing.
Accessing and using,
retrieving.
As a matter of fact, and retrieving.
But Mr. Chair, but it's more than that. It's what you knowing it's done knowingly,
yeah,
with the intent to. I don't understand why you see this as so broad.
No, if we added with an intent to commit an illegal act, I'd be a lot more comfortable.
Well,
I
would be comfortable. Maybe I'm wrong. Too. What are you talking about? Any person? Which line are you talking about?
Well,
talking about
first of all, go to the first page and look at computer. Computer means it is not limited to any electronic device that performs logical,
right,
arithmetic,
but look at function. Look at if you state line 27 knowingly accesses blah 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 for the purpose of 30, 31, next page one.
No, I have no problem with that.
You got, all right, then let's just go on down.
That's
to next.
Section two. It's already a Class C felony.
All right, then you go on down next to the
four.
Damages or destroys.
That's Class C felony. No problem.
Or authorizes. Then four. What?
Knowingly and without authorization uses any computer. I buy a $399 calculator from Payless, and I put it down here, and say Representative Minnis wants to add up 1 plus 1 on that calculator without my permission. He has just knowingly, without authorization, used a computer, and he's committed a Class C felony. Now, if we added with intent to commit any illegal act, he has not, because there's no intent there to commit an illegal act. He just wanted to add up 1 plus 1.
This is, what do you think, Representative Courtney?
I'm not necessarily reading these independently, so I'm...
No, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
What's an illegal act? Inducing a virus...
I was also willing to put in a rebuttable presumption. It shall be, meaning that it'd be up to the defendant to overcome it. It shall be a rebuttable presumption for purposes of this subsection 4 only that any surreptitious accessing or use is for the purposes of an illegal act.
Representative Miller.
Well, let's go to Representative Mannix's example. I suppose Representative Mannix used that computer in that case and he had the illegal act. Section 3, he talks about any person knowingly in authorization alters the computer. What if you had some numbers up on your little calculator and you push clear? Did that alter your computer? And would that be an illegal act that would therefore make that same action you just described to Class C felony?
Gentlemen, let me suggest make an observation here. I think we know what we want to do. We know that we don't want people accessing, needs to be very frank about it, we don't want people accessing major computer systems and playing around with them.
Right.
We just, you know, and let's face it, all computers are not equal. My electronic watch, my compact, doesn't equal a mainframe computer. But the way the statute is written is a very, very, very broad statute. And I can appreciate what they want to do, and I think Representative Mannix can appreciate it too. So what we need is some language that really addresses the act of accessing mainframe computers, if I might. Now, that's not in the definitions, but I think that's what we're talking about, aren't we? I mean, is there a unanimity in this group that it's one thing for you to play around with Representative Minnis's calculator?
Sure.
Although, to be very frank, if I went in and started playing around with Representative Glory's PC, he might.
Right. Exactly.
But there is a gradation there somewhere.
So what are you saying, Mr. Chair? We know we want to do but, and what?
We need some type of definition here that makes the crime the accessing the big computer.
Ask opponents to come back with a def.
Representative Mannix, you got anything there?
I'm still willing to use, to make the distinction between open use and surreptitious use. Because that to me is, when you're really getting into the heavy activity, it's done surreptitiously. People don't just walk in right in front of you and start destroying your program. They do it surreptitiously. And or they don't reach over and grab your calculator and use it with some illegal intent and do it in front of everybody. They're going to sneak in and grab your program at some other point. And I was still going to suggest, if you said, with intent to commit any illegal act, as a phrase on line 7 of page 2, where it says, you know, if you knowingly and without authorization uses, accesses, or attempts to access, with intent to commit any illegal act, commits computer crime, and then said, it shall be rebuttably presumed, for purposes of this subsection 4 only, that any surreptitious use, surreptitious accessing, or any surreptitious attempt to access is with intent to commit an illegal act. That puts the burden on the defendant to come back and show that, oh, I did it in the dead of night only because I worked the night shift with my coworker or whatever.
Representative Miller.
With the expertise of Representative Calori, what would happen in Section 4 if you dropped computer?
Well,
access
to your system?
Went into systems, networks, software, programs, everything else. I've been looking at the definitions.
Yeah.
I'm sure they mean a whole lot more to you than they do to me, but
well,
like there's pretty good protection. There isn't.
I don't think so, because computer system, as is defined here, it talks about connected related equipment. Well, even the common PCs
well,
leaving
are in software and program and everything else.
Yeah.
You read those definitions. Getting into a program.
Mr. Chair, do you want this out today? Is that
well, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you four choices. Really with Matrix, I'm going to make my own database here. Your choices are: amend the bill, a clean bill, no bill at all, or further work on the bill. So, Representative Mannix, I assume that you are. We want to amend the bill.
I want to amend. The
okay, bill. Representative Clory, you want the clean bill. Original bill.
It is a clean bill, yeah.
It is a clean bill. Representative Courtney, where are you?
Further work on the bill.
Further work on the bill. Representative Miller, where are you?
Tireless work.
Further work on the bill, clean bill, amend. What?
Further
work on the bill. Representative Bryan?
I concur with the proposed amendments and then be clean by my definition.
Okay, so Representative Bryan is amend the bill. We have two amends, one clean. And two further works.
E.
I think the chair wants to do further work. Can I indulge me into further work on this? And ask.
I'll indulge you in that. I just want to deal with that problem. That's
let's ask the proponents of this bill, and I'm sure they have those monster legal staff to come back to bring this back to us.
And would you please mention to them the example of the let's even say the $1.99 special calculator.
So I think we'll reschedule.
Which
this.
I could steal and probably make it, a Class C misdemeanor, but if I borrow it for a moment, it's a Class C felony.
Good legal minds here. We're going to come back to this one, and I think we've done enough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and your leadership.
How come you never put that in those notes to me? I never get thank yous in the notes.
You don't get
anything else,
Representative? We'll be considering a possible sub I, per City of Eugene's comments.
Yes. Why don't we ask? Staff's going to contact Mr. Wilhelm with our discussions and also bring to his attention Linda Lynch's letter from Eugene. So,
first, just simplicity's sake, our data would follow all the letter C definitions and would not come at the very end. I notice these tend to be alphabetical. We would probably just renumber.
Close the hearing here. A little comment. This is kind of, I've been amazed by
testimony points to the problem. You can be 18 to 21 and dancing around nude in a tavern, but you can't walk in there as a patron.
Is that the problem? You can't walk in as a patron?
Do we open it up one way or do we close it the other? No. I shouldn't have said that. I have no problem restricting anything that goes on inside of taverns based on, we have a separate constitutional authority to regulate liquor.
Yeah.
And because of our capability to regulate liquor, we can regulate a lot of what goes on inside taverns that we can't regulate in other places. They don't serve alcoholic beverages. So I don't have any constitutional inhibitions about this kind of prohibition if we think the people would like to see it. In fact, we probably could constitutionally prohibit nude dancing in any liquor-serving establishment utilizing our liquor control authority by anyone of any age.
Representative Mannix, I'm not exactly in love with this bill, but I'm certainly not going to stop it. You know, Representative Kalori, I mean, this is a trip you'll go on without me, but if you want to...
What are you looking for?
I'm just trying to act, you know, to accommodate you guys.
I don't care about the bill.
I'm for it. That's fine.
For it? Representative Courtney? Representative Bryan?
Yeah, I think we've had a couple well-known cases in Portland last year where women under the age of 21 have gotten involved in the whole drug circuit and all kinds of things in the bar scene in Portland. I have no problem. I could support the bill. And Representative Mannix made the phrase that he had no inhibitions about seeing this sort of thing.
Did I say that?
I think you were referring to the bill.
I meant the bill.
Okay, that's good. Phew.
Did we hear from anybody today who opposed the bill, Mr. Chair?
No, we didn't.
Did very little testimony.
But I suspect if this comes out, we'll hear a lot.
That's what I meant. Why? I'm so surprised we didn't have a groundswell. Like, this is the kind of thing that might bring a groundswell in terms of the ACLU.
Now, please notice that we're talking about employing a person. Yeah. Employing a person under 21 to dance in a state of nudity. We're not dealing with all this other legislation that I've heard about that deals with nudity. Then someone takes a picture of their 2-year-old who's naked and they violated the law or something. We're talking about a very specific, limited bill.
No. Mr. Chair, if I'm not mistaken, it does talk about paying a person for dancing nude, but it goes further than that. It also says you can't dance nude. So if a person wasn't receiving any compensation and they were under 21 and they were in one of these establishments, they get hit too. So it doesn't talk just...
It says to accept compensation to dance in Section 3. So they can dance nude for free in a tavern if they're under 21.
If
they can get in.
No,
they can't get
no,
in
they
because
can't.
They're not employees.
My point is, you said it applies to being employed. It is unlawful person to employ. So you say strictly it's employed?
Both of them talk about compensation or employment. Section 2 says you can't employ someone under 21 to dance in a state of nudity. Section 3 says if you're under 21, you can't accept compensation to dance in a state of nudity.
So are we prepared to go further and say, as long as you're not being paid, you can dance nude in one of these establishments?
The problem is you can't get in there if you're under 21.
Not in an establishment where liquor is served.
That's what we're really talking about.
So we wrestle a little bit with what about in the
juice barns,
coffee houses,
tea rooms.
How are we going to deal with that?
Yeah, that's how, why...
That was where we got, I think, question was raised. The sponsors had some legitimate concerns as to whether or not the language is...
I think it's called table dancing is what it's called.
Handled it. And so I'm... My sense was that maybe the sponsor might have wanted some time to put together language.
I think one of the other sponsors, also would like to.
How about in any establishment? You could just add in any establishment subject to regulation by the OLCC, and then you brought in the liquor prohibition.
Mr. Chair,
we have the liquor problem.
Mr. Chair, may I suggest that we allow these sponsors to put in some additional work and have some additional language that they might be interested in doing.
The
I think
the sponsored, one is sponsored.
If the sponsor would like to play with the bill, I'm perfectly happy.
I think the sponsor should be allowed some additional time, Mr. Chair, to review the bill and decide what they want to do, Mr. Chair.
That okay? Well, can we get the committee's acquiescence on that?
Sure. Pardon me, it's big for the majority leader, but I'm certain he wouldn't be disappointed with
that. Well, good, then we'll kind of put this aside for a while. I think it's time we close this hearing.
Thank you very much.
Some runaway grand jury.
You know what you just did?
What's next?
What? R.I.P. Stones right up.